We're joined today by author Camille DeMaio. She has written the book, The Memory of Us, also Before the Rain Falls. And the new one is called The Way of Beauty. And Camille, the way I'm looking at this, you kind of put out a book a year so far, right? Is that how it's working?
Yes, that's how it's working out. I actually just finished my fourth, which will come out in spring of 2019. So it seems to be my track.
Well, tell me a little bit about your track to becoming a writer before we get into the topic of the new book.
Well, I've been a realtor for quite a long time in Texas, but always since being the kid at recess who spent her recesses in the library, I wanted to be a writer. So with my husband's support and encouragement, I stayed up till 3 a.m. writing drafts of The Memory of Us for many weeks and worked for years to improve that, get an agent. Did definitely take years. And when that took off, I had the choice to face of, do I want a career as a realtor or do I want a career as a writer? And I went back to being the kid in the library and said, I want to be a writer. So
did the book that you started writing become the book you finished, that first book, if it took years to write, or did things in your life and the book's life change?
That actually became the book. I was just dead focused. That was my idea. I wanted that book to be published. And so I didn't really dally with a lot of other things. I was pretty focused. And it did take years of the focus to make that work and improve it enough to where it was ready to get picked up. But that is the one I wanted to publish, so I stuck with that one.
When the book publishing world classifies or wants to put your book on a shelf, what do they classify it as, and where do they put it?
Typically, historical fiction would be that. If you're finding it in the library, it might just simply be in fiction. It depends on how people do. But historical fiction is the genre people call it the most. And I do always have at least a bit of a romantic angle, so sort of a sub-genre there would be historical romance.
Now, you mentioned historical, and I see most of these are set sometimes either pre-World War II or around that era. What is it about those decades or that time frame that really interests you?
I love that the time periods are not so distant that they're completely foreign to us, but I love that their technology was more limited than what we have now, so I like to think about how they got from A to B transportation-wise. You know, did they have any kind of telephone or party line, or did they not? So I like those little details that make them different from where we are today, but they're not so far removed as to be just completely different. So that era just really draws me in.
You're not writing this putting this on a manual typewriter on a yellow legal pad, are you? Just to inspire you?
No. And every time I make an edit on my laptop, I am so grateful that we are in the age where we're writing like that. I love old typewriters, and I'd love to own one someday just for the fun of it, but I don't know how people wrote books and edited books that way.
That's
maybe
right.
They didn't edit much. A lot of the old books are pretty thick. Maybe they just kept going.
The new book you have is called The Way of Beauty. Let's talk about the characters. You have Pearl, Vera, and Angelo.
Yes, in the first part of the book, they're taking place in the early part of the 20th century, New York City, and it revolves a lot around Penn Station, just as it was being built and opened. And that era brought about the changes for women with the votes for women and the suffragettes. So there's a lot about that part of it in that part of the story, and a bit of a love triangle going on as well.
What does the girl of Texas know of Penn Station?
I go to New York a lot. I've had a lot of family in New York, and my oldest daughter lives there now, so I've spent a lot of time there, and it's probably my favorite city.
And this is obviously another one of those pieces that kind of takes you through a time period. The book, The Way of Beauty, again, we're speaking today with Camille DeMaio, author of the book, just came out. What was it like now that the book sort of shows up and you realize, okay, now it's up to the readers to tell me whether I did a good job or not?
It's scary. And, you know, three books in, it hasn't gotten any less scary. You just kind of brace yourself for those reviews to come in, and it's out of your control at that point. And, you know, I've had four children, and it's sort of like that, this, you know, while the child's inside you, it's all yours. And then it's out in the world. It's really not all yours anymore. And out there to become its own being. And I think the books are a whole lot like that. And in fact, writers call them their book babies. And now I really get that term. So it's a little nerve-wracking. But at the same time, it is just so rewarding. Yesterday was my release day. And the flood of messages and love and outpouring that came from the reading community was staggering, and I just really, really appreciated that.
Do you find readers sometimes get more or different things out of the book than you intended or thought you put into it?
They definitely do, and this one's still a little too new out to see that happen, but in the other books I've written, I've had people pull out pieces of symbolism, and I'll go, oh, I don't think I put that in there on purpose, but I kind of see their point. So there might be a lot of subconscious things going on with certain choices, but I remember having that impression with a couple of reviews that they definitely pulled things out. So probably the ones that almost make me laugh is I'm a pretty clean writer, PG rated, and once in a while I'll get somebody telling me, oh, there was too much graphic stuff in there, and I go, wow, what book are they reading? Or what is their judgment call for that? Because I'm pretty low heat as far as that goes. So those different perspectives always make me smile.
Maybe sometimes, though, you've created a context with the words and just the imagination of the reader that's added more to it, but it allows a little bit of interpretation. So in other words, you've taken them on a journey and they've kind of embraced it in that way.
Well, and I think so. And as somebody who's just a voracious reader, I think that that is how we communicate with art, is we don't just read what's on the page or on a canvas. We're really bringing our own history and our own story into it. So definitely people read things that are in their own background into it. So it may or may not have been intended, but that's the beautiful interaction with art and what I completely love about reading.
In the new book, The Way of Beauty, some characters deal with women's suffrage movement. You talk about somebody in the clothing manufacturing industry. How do you kind of research that or kind of bring that context into those characters?
I start with what I do know about history. And in this case, I knew about the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire that had happened. And while I didn't write about that specifically, it does make a mention in there. And so that led me to feel like I wanted Pearl's father to have been involved in that industry, and what she witnessed with that made her want to fight for the rights of workers, and that naturally led to her to fight for the right for women to vote. She's a character who's just very impassioned about a lot of causes. So it starts with what she witnesses at the Triangle Factory, which is a clothing manufacturer, and that's how I personalized that for her and gave her a reason to go out and to become a suffragette later fighting for that cause. So I start with what I know a little bit about of and research that more deeply, and that will almost always lead me on a goose chase around a lot of different things, and then I get to kind of pick and choose what might work best in the story.
Then you have to kind of figure out what names are good from any era. I guess any name could go at any time, but you probably try to find a quintessential or a name that sort of fits that era that you're working with.
I do. That's actually one of my favorite things with naming characters. And since I write historical fiction, I will pick out which year my character would have needed to be born to be the age that they are in the story. And then I will Google popular names of 1892 or something like that. And I'll look through that list of both male and female names, and I kind of see which one gives me the vibe of that character, but also is authentic for the period. And I absolutely love doing that. Yeah, I can write lots and lots of characters and name them, but I'm not going to have that many real babies to do that with. So I enjoy that a lot.
Let's talk a little bit about the process that you have for this. Are you influenced by current events in any way? I mean, you're writing something one day about something in the past. You look on the, maybe you have a TV on or see news. Do you find yourself sometimes even just sort of looking at current day, or maybe subconsciously it works its way into some of your stories?
Well, what influences me more than anything is location. I love to travel, and so location is what inspires me. I can be a news junkie, and so once in a while I'll see something where I think that situation's interesting, and I have a book of writing notes that I keep. But some of the things are very specifically contemporary, so it's sort of in a file forever. If I ever write a contemporary story, I have a file of details, but my historicals tend to be based on location, either a place I've traveled or would like to travel and explore more, and that's where I get my original idea and jumping off point.
I've seen pictures you've taken of crazy bookstores that you've been to or other places like that. So you kind of enjoy the physical book, right?
I do. And I have a Kindle and I love it. And it's wonderful for when I travel. But for me, just nothing replaces a book. And I love even old books. I love to just imagine who held this book and read this book and loved it before I ever owned it. So I love used books, new books, but I love the smell of the paper. As a really voracious reader would, the smell of paper, the feel of the book, the beauty of the cover. And so I love to go into bookstores, especially independent ones. I want them to stay in business forever and ever. And so everywhere I travel, I'm traveling right now, I always have a list of what the local bookstores are so I can go in and support them and take pictures and tag them.
You mentioned when you were first starting, it took you years to do this, and I think I read something. As many people who are doing aspiring authors, they'll go to, you know, seminars or workshops or things like that. Do you find a lot of people who write books are voracious readers, and are that, or are they? Because sometimes people who are in a particular medium sort of do it, but it's not sort of their hobby or their outside interests. You know, there's a lot of people in television that don't watch television, that kind of a thing. I wondered if you found that the same, or are book people, writers, interested in the written word all the way through, even other authors and stuff?
My current writing community, the authors that I know, I would say everybody's really, really great readers. I don't know that so many of them will specifically say that that informs their writing, and I'll say that it does for me. For example, when I have writer's block, I will purposely go seek out books that take place in the same era, maybe the same location, and I'll read them not so much for research, but just to sort of get that vibe back for me, and I get over my writer's block that way. I think a lot of people, though, feel like they have a story to tell in them. A lot of people want to be writers, whether it's as a hobby, as a personal journal, or going all the way and writing an entire book. And I think sometimes that probably supersedes their love of reading. It's just, I have a story to tell. But I personally think, or at least it's my own experience, that reading is the very best educator, especially for writing fiction. I didn't even know what pacing was or voice or anything like that when I was setting out. I didn't know all the MFA words for that, but I knew what worked in a story. I knew what pacing was without knowing what the definition was because I felt it as I read good books. And so I hopefully put that in my books.
The Way of Beauty is the new book. Where did the title come from for that?
The book centers around the building, the heyday, and the destruction of Penn Station, which was built to be just, it was stunning when it was built. It rivaled anything in London or Paris, and it was just absolutely beautiful. But like anything else, it had its day, and then it declined and was demolished. And so I have a point in the book where a character is describing our lives with that parallel. We have this newness to us, and everybody is excited about the very first step we take. And then that wears off, and we have our heyday, and we go out to become the people we're made to be. But later we age, and we wrinkle, and we are on a different path with that. And she's talking about, how do I reinvent myself from that? And so she looks at what happened with the arc of the train station and compares it to her own life and says, well, that's the way of beauty. It has an arc, but it's not always just this physical one. How can I renew my arc and start a new story and start a new path of beauty?
We were talking today with author Camille DeMaio. The book is called The Way of Beauty. I was looking over some of your social media, because authors now, as yourself, have ways to get out to the general public. You know, you can kind of just talk directly to them. But it was funny because there's two things I found out from researching you. I found out there's a word called bookstagrammers, or at least that's a word you made up. I'm not quite sure.
I didn't make it up.
Okay. So with Instagram, I guess there's another culture that, you know, to share books and book covers and things like that to get information out. And then chick lit. I had to look that up just to double check. And that's one of those, I guess, sort of slang terms, I guess, for types of books that people, whether it's, you know, literature for women, whether that's meant to be a, you know, a compliment, or it's just sort of a category for that. So it's interesting, the sort of some of the words that come out of this career for you here.
I agree. I haven't invented any of them, but I've definitely picked where they're useful and used them in some of my hashtags. And I especially love bookstagrammers, and that relates to those wonderful, wonderful readers who are so enthusiastic about reading and posting about it, and especially they create beautiful pictures. They take beautiful cover art and then create props around it and make great photography out of that, and that's really the penultimate bookstagrammer in my mind. And there's just some artwork out there that they're doing, but first and foremost, they're just really enthusiastic readers, and I'm the great recipient of some of their great photography and enthusiasm, and I appreciate it.
It's fun to see the response like that. It's a different thing than when somebody just, either you'd see it at a book signing maybe in the past or something like that. Now it's sort of an immediate kind of response, or somebody reads your book at some point, or maybe one of your previous books has a comment for it and kind of regenerates your love for what you do and passion to continue writing.
Oh, it absolutely bolsters me, because probably like anything else we do, 10% is inspirational and 90% is just hard work. And when you're in that part of hard work and overcoming writer's block and trying to fix a plot point, and then you see a bookstagrammer create a beautiful photo and tag you and review your book, it just gives that fuel you need to say, okay, I can do this, because writers spend a lot of their time feeling like abject failures, no matter what your book sales are or anything else. And one bad review can send you into thinking, oh, what am I doing? And so the opposite is true, too. When they put that effort and enthusiasm into it, it is absolutely the fuel you need to keep going.
How do you feel about book trailers? I ask every author about this, because this was something that I didn't know existed until I started researching different authors and then realized they make little mini movies about books. Like, you know what I mean?
They do, and I'm a big movie fan. I love showing up on time for a movie because I want to watch every single trailer. And if they just showed 2 hours of trailers, I'd be completely happy. So there are some of the big houses are doing some kind of book trailers for their books. But I happen to have a brother who is a video editor and has a really great eye for things. And so when I came out with my first book, we just chatted about collaborating on our own book trailer. And he did an amazing job. Really, and I don't think I'm being biased. When I look at my book trailers, I think they're some of the best out there, and that's because he did great work on them, and I get a lot of great responses for them. So all three of my books have book trailers that I've put up on my YouTube channel, and they're great. They're like little movie trailers, and they'd make me want to read the book.
Right, it attracts another audience. However, I will say, and this is just I always think the book, you know, as the printed word becomes imagination in your own mind, you create what the character looks like. You know, even though you may describe it in a certain way, I may have a different way of putting it all together. Sometimes in a book trailer, it almost sort of says, oh, that's what he looks like. Or that's where they, you know what I mean? Sometimes it takes away a little bit of the fun that the reader gets to bring to a book.
Well, if you overdo it and you concentrate too much on the character in a book trailer, then you're really cementing for the reader what somebody might look like. My brother's designed them to be fairly fleeting glimpses, and usually somebody will see that far before they ever read the book. So by the time they're reading the book, all that imagery, which is pretty much flashing by, may not be too cemented in them. But we try to, when we pick out pictures and videos together, we try to bring together something that evokes at least what I have said, you know, a hair color or something that's really not very debatable. We try to bring those into those videos.
Well, the new book is called The Way of Beauty. Camille DeMaio is our guest this morning. If people want to find out more about your book or you, where's a good place to hook up with that?
I'm all over social media. I am most active on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter, and I do have a YouTube channel, and all of that is under my name, Camille DeMaio, and I'm the only one out there as far as I know, so I'm pretty easy to find on those platforms.
And for people who like small doses, you're even able to take a book review and turn it into a 2-minute book review. So I applaud you on that as well.
Thank you. Yes, I've been enjoying doing those and giving back to the authors that I love reading.
Again, our guest today is Camille DeMaio. The book is called The Way of Beauty. We appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.